Have I ever mentioned how much I love the show Daria? I really love the show Daria.
Everything is fantastic!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everything is Fantastic. I'm your host, Chris McGinnis. It's the middle of August now, and that means school's gonna be starting up again soon. So I thought, because the start of a new school year often means new beginnings for the rest of the month of August and into September, I'm be looking at the beginnings of some of my favorite TV shows on Everything is Fantastic by covering the first episodes of them. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Wait a minute. Isn't this really kind of a flimsy rationale for a theme month? And you'd be right. So, without any further ado, let's actually try and attempt to sort of tie this episode into my slapdash theme with an episode that actually deals with starting at a new school. Episode 101 of Daria, Esteemers. The episode begins with Jake Morgendorfer driving his daughters, Daria and Quinn, to school. Jake tells the girls that both he and their mother know that it can't be easy moving to a new town. Daria deadpans, "Did we move?" Jake says he knows that Daria doesn't make friends as easily as some people. Daria cites Quinn as an example, and Jake says that's not what he meant. Necessarily. As they pull up to Lawndale High School, Jake advises the girls to not get upset if it takes the other kids a while to warm up to them. Quinn gets out of the car first and is an instant hit with a group of kids standing outside. One guy even asks Quinn if she'll go out with him. Daria says she'll try to help Quinn through this period of adjustment, and Jake encourages her, but then seems confused since it doesn't seem to him like Quinn's going to need much help adjusting. Daria gets out of the car and is subsequently ignored by the other kids who are still fawning over Quinn. Fade into the interior of Lawndale High, and the principal, Ms. Lee, is giving a tour to a group of new students. Ms. Lee says that the students of Lawndale take great pride in their school, which is why all new incoming students take a psychological test in order to, quote, spot any clouds that may be on the horizon as they sail into studenthood. Quinn is pissed. She wasn't notified about having to take any tests on the first day. Daria tells Quinn it's a psychological test, which means Quinn is immediately exempt from it. This seems to placate Quinn. She is not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but she is smarter than a few characters that we'll meet later. We cut to the office of the school psychologist, Mrs. Manson. She holds up a picture and asks Quinn to tell her what she sees. Quinn says it's two people talking, and Mrs. Manson asks Quinn to make up a story about what the two people are talking about. Quinn says she's not even supposed to be taking this test, claiming that she's exempt. Mrs. Mason tells Quinn that she's not going to be graded, and just like that, Quinn's okay with it. Quinn's story is that the two people in the picture have been going on for a long time. The guy is upset that the girl is constantly being asked out by other people, and the girl says that she can't help that she's attractive and popular, and also that they're not going steady, and if the guy wants that, he has to do better than dates consisting of movie burger backseat. Mrs. Manson seems pleased with the response. She then asks Dara if she can come up with a story as vivid as Quinn's. Daria corrects Mrs. Manson on the mispronunciation of her name, but Mrs. Manson doesn't take much notice and asks Dara what she sees. Daria replies, "A herd of beautiful wild ponies running free across the plains." Mrs. Manson says there aren't any ponies in the picture. It's two people. Daria says the last time she took one of these tests, she was told that the objects in the pictures were clouds and that they could be anything she wanted. Mrs. Manson says that that's a different kind of test, and in this one, the picture is of the two people, and Daria has to say what they're discussing. Daria then takes a deep look at the picture and says that it's of a guy and a girl, and they are discussing a herd of beautiful wild ponies running free across the plains. Mrs. Manson scowls at this, and Daria smiles, satisfied with herself. Cut to history class, and the first appearance of Mr. DiMartino, a teacher so high-strung that, in the words of Bobby the Brain Heenan, he makes coffee nervous. Mr. DiMartino introduces Daria to the rest of the class, to no reaction at all. He then asks Daria if she can concisely and unemotionally sum up what Manifest Destiny is. Daria does so, very unemotionally, I might add. Mr. DiMartino then asks if anyone else in the class can tell him what war was fought to justify Manifest Destiny. He calls on Kevin, the quarterback of the football team. Kevin answers the Vietnam War. Kevin is dumb as a goalpost. See what I did there? I'll show myself out later. Anyway, Mr. DiMartino tells Kevin that war came a bit later. About 100 years later. Kevin tries again by guessing Operation Watergate. Mr. DiMartino asks Kevin to come back and visit him later after Kevin has won the Heisman Trophy and owns a chain of car dealerships while Mr. DiMartino is still saving up for a second pair of pants. Brittany, head cheerleader and Kevin's girlfriend, asks if she can come too, as long as she and Kevin are still together at that point. Mr. DiMartino asks Brittany if she can tell him what war America fought against the Mexicans, and she says no. Mr. DiMartino asks her if she can try and put forth a guess, and she answers the Viet Cong War. Clearly, Brittany and Kevin are made for each other. Mr. DiMartino demands that someone in the class give him the correct answer, or he's assigning double homework and a quiz for the next day. Seeing as no one else is making an effort, Daria sighs and raises her hand. Mr. DiMartino yells at Daria to stop showing off, and she lowers her hand. Cut to the Morgendorfy house that night. The family is eating dinner. Apparently, it's lasagna. At least, it looks like lasagna. Quinn is telling her parents about her day, which culminates in her being named vice president of the fashion club. Jake asks Daria how her first day was. Daria says her history teacher hates her because she knows all the answers, but there's some interesting idiots in her class. Helen, her mother, tells Daria that since it's a new school, she shouldn't judge people too harshly right from the start. They don't want it to be like Highland all over again. Daria says there's not much chance of that happening, unless there's uranium in the drinking water in Lawndale as well. Helen explains that she was talking about Daria making a friend or two. Helen tells Daria to not be too judgmental and give people the benefit of the doubt. Daria says it all comes down to trust, and Helen agrees with her. Daria tells her parents that she can see where they're coming from and asks if she can borrow either car. Jake and Helen reply no, in unison. The phone rings, and Helen leaves the table to answer it. I notice a calendar in the background, and it reads May 12th. It seems a bit late in the year to be transferring into a new school, but I'm not going to dwell on that. Anyway, Helen is on the other line with somebody calling from the high school. Helen asks us if a parent-teacher conference is necessary, and if so, is it the kind of thing her assistant can handle. The phone conversation ends, and Helen asks the girls if they took a psychological test at school today. Quinn gets up to protest, saying that she was told that they wouldn't be graded on it. Helen says that the school wants Daria to enroll in a special class for a few weeks, and then she'll be tested again. The test apparently said Daria has low self-esteem. Jake tells Daria that news stinks, and Helen tells Jake to take it easy and focus. Helen says to Daria, "We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, but you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?" Gee, I can't imagine where the issues come from. Daria says that the test is wrong and it's a mistake. She doesn't have low self-esteem. Jake agrees. Daria then follows up by saying that she has low esteem for everyone else. And we get our first act break. Back from break, and we're in the esteem class being taught by Mr. O'Neill. He is basically the sobering yin to Mr. DiMartino's raging yang. In this shot, there are a total of four people in the class. Daria, two guys who remain nameless, and a girl wearing a red jacket sitting behind Daria. Mr. O'Neill is going through an introductory speech, and Daria tries to ask a question. Mr. O'Neill is caught off guard and asked to just be able to get through the introduction, and then they'll watch a video. Daria wonders how she's going to pass this class if she doesn't understand what Mr. O'Neill is talking about. The girl behind Daria tells her that Mr. O'Neill doesn't really understand what he's saying either. He just has the speech memorized. She'll fill Daria in with the details later, saying that she's taken the class 6 times. We cut to Daria and the other girl, who we soon learn is named Jane, walking home from school. Jane tells Daria that in the future class, they send the girls and guys to different classrooms where a female counselor will talk to them about body image. Daria wonders what the guys' lecture is about, and both she and Jane conclude it's probably about nocturnal emissions. Daria asks Jane why she can't pass the class if she has the whole thing memorized. Jane says she can pass the class, but she just likes the notion of having low self-esteem. It makes her feel special. Daria arrives home and finds Helen waiting for her in the living room. Daria asks her mother if she's feeling alright since it's not even 5 o'clock and she's home. Helen tells Daria she took the rest of the day off to help her work on her self-esteem. Daria tells her mother that's not necessary. She's under the care of professionals and any meddling from an amateur could be dangerous. Helen says that if a lack of mother-daughter bonding is what's causing her problems, she's ready to remedy that now and suggests they go do something Daria wants to do. Cut to Helen coming out of a dressing room at a store, modeling a light blue skirt and matching blazer, and Daria gives a lifeless critique at Helen's insistence. Somehow I doubt this is something Daria wanted to do, low self-esteem or not. Cut to the halls of Lawndale High, where some guy is flirting with Quinn, asking her what she likes to do after school. Quinn lists a number of expensive options, going shopping, going to a theme park, having a fancy meal, or going to a concert if she knows someone who has really good seats and is renting a limo. Jane and Daria walk by, and overhearing this conversation, Jane says that the poor guy doesn't have a prayer. Daria agrees and tells Jane that that's her sister. The guy asks Quinn if she has any brothers or sisters, and Quinn replies, "Nope, I'm an only child." Daria is noticeably pissed. Cut to that afternoon session of the self-esteem class. Mr. O'Neill says that they discussed making their daydreams become realities and has a chance for the class. Go home tonight and do just that. He asks Daria, without calling on her by name, about a daydream she'd like to make real, and Daria says that she wants for her family to do something together. Something that will make them suffer. Mr. O'Neill says very unsurely that it's healthy to have those feelings. He thinks. The bell rings and the class files out. At the Morgendorf house that night, they're just beginning to start dinner, which looks like lasagna. Again. Jake asks Daria how her self-esteem is coming along. Daria says Mr. O'Neill told the class to think back on situations that made them happy when they were younger and try to replicate that. But Daria figures that would be impossible because she guesses Quinn is here to stay. Quinn asks Daria what she means by that, and Daria replies, "You would know. You're the only child." Helen asks Daria to finish what she was saying, and Daria says that she was thinking, why don't they go to Pizza Force for dinner, like they did when they were younger? Quinn asks, horrified, "The place with the singers?" Daria says how she missed those songs. Cut to an establishing exterior shot of the Pizza Force restaurant, and we hear a group of goofy-sounding voices finishing a verse of "Row, Row, Row Your Boat." The interior is reminiscent of Chuck E. Cheese. Pizza's the main dish, there are games everywhere, and people wearing gigantic animal mascot costumes are walking around. The group of animal musicians come over to the Morgendorfer's table and start to sing "Row, Row, Row Your Boat" again, encouraging them to sing along. The entire Morgendorfer family are hating every second of this, except for Daria. She's silently relishing the discomfort of her family. One of the costume characters tries to encourage the Morgendorfers again to join them, but no one's biting. The musicians stop, but then Daria sings the opening line of the song and smile as her parents look on. And we get our second act break. Back from break, and we're at Jane's house. Jane and Daria are watching Sick Sad World. It's basically the show's version of Weekly World News, the TV show. A woman is interviewing a man who is blind, deaf, and barely able to stand, yet somehow he had managed to carry on three simultaneous affairs with members of the royal family. She asks the man how he did it, and the man replies, "What?" Jane says the reporter doesn't get it. It's members of the royal family, so you'd have to be blind. The next story comes up talking about UFO conventions. The reporter describes them as previously being derided as just a breeding ground for kooks, but they become big business since sane, rational people like you or I come to satisfy a natural curiosity. As she says this, a nerdy-looking guy named Artie comes up to her, and she interviews him. Apparently, he's one of those kooks she had previously mentioned, saying that he was brought to the convention by a UFO. Daria asks Jane if she has the answers to the esteem class release test, and Jane says she's got them in her notebook. Daria suggests that they take the test tomorrow and get out of the class for good. Jane asks how would she spend her afternoons from then on. Daria says UFO conventions, and Jane is on board. Cut to Lawndale High the next day. Mr. O'Neill tells the class their homework assignment is to come up with a list of 10 reasons the world would be a sadder place without you in it. One of the other students asks if it's because they've never been born, or if they died suddenly and unexpectedly. "Never been born," Mr. O'Neill clarifies. The rest of the class file out, but Daria and Jane are still there. Mr. O'Neill is puzzled as why they're still there and asks if they need a clarification on something. Daria says that she and Jane are feeling really good about themselves and they'd like to take the graduation exam. Mr. O'Neill says that he's glad to hear that things are on an upswing for them, but there's still 3 weeks of class left. Daria says that the first week has been a real eye-opener. It must be the way he teaches. Mr. O'Neill is sufficiently flattered and says that while it's not normally the way they do things, he'll give them the tests. After three brief questions of parroting back the rhetoric Mr. O'Neill quote-unquote taught, he's very pleased with what he hears. In fact, he thinks the whole school should hear about it at an assembly. Daria and Jane's faces registered discomfort at that idea. A school bell rings and we cut to the auditorium. Ms. Lee is at a podium. She says the school bake sale was a success and they made $400, which was subsequently stolen from the office. She is confident they will get that money back, and in a related announcement, the school nurse will begin to take DNA samples during homeroom the next morning. Having said her piece, she introduces Mr. O'Neill to the podium. Daria sarcastically says that this will definitely ease her into student life, and Jane says she usually is wearing pink taffeta when she's having this dream. Mr. O'Neill makes a brief speech comparing self-esteem to brake fluid. You never think about being low on either one until you try and switch gears and nothing happens. A voice from the crowd yells out that he described transmission fluid. Somewhat flustered, Mr. O'Neill goes on, calling Darry and Jane to the podium and presenting them with their diplomas. Jane steps up to the podium and says that knowing she has self-esteem makes her feel like she has even more self-esteem. Darry looks unimpressed, and then Jane takes a sudden turn, saying that knowing that everyone else knows she has a self-esteem issue makes her feel bad about herself. Darry grins, eager to see where Jane goes with this. Jane then pretends to become emotional and runs off stage, crying. Mr. Neal runs after her, saying, "Daria, wait!" Yeah, great teaching method there, Mr. O'Neill. Teach kids how to have self-esteem, and yet don't even bother to learn their names. Bravo, sir. Daria then approaches the podium and begins to speak. As she speaks, we cut to the audience, where we see Quinn sitting between two guys who are quietly heckling the proceedings. Cut back to Daria on the stage, and she says overcoming low self-esteem is only possible with help from guidance from teachers, friends, and most importantly, family. She then goes on to say, "I want to thank my sister, Quinn Morgendorfer. Quinn has forgotten more about self-esteem than I will ever know." Quinn is mortified. The guy on Quinn's left says, "That brain is your sister?" The other guy asks Quinn if she's a brain too. Oh yes, because God forbid you make an effort to seem intelligent in high school. Cut to the Morgendorfer house that night. Quinn is complaining about how Daria thanked her during the assembly, and her parents commend Daria for doing that. Quinn says she'll have to lock herself in her room until she dies, and she'll never talk to anyone for the rest of her life. The phone rings, and Quinn immediately answers it, saying that it's for her, and walks away from the table. Jake asks what Quinn was so upset about, and Daria responds, "She says I should have thanked you and Mom as well." Ellen says that actually they should thank Daria for being such a great kid, and that graduating from self-esteem class is quite an achievement. Daria says that she thinks they should celebrate. Helen and Jake both apologize and say they can't because of their busy schedules. Daria says she feels her self-esteem beginning to slip, and Jake and Helen look horrified at the thoughts. Cut to the Morgendorfers at a UFO convention taking place in Lawndale. Daria says they should get their picture taken with the cardboard alien, and Jake says, "Sure, honey, whatever you want." Daria, Jake, and Helen walk off, and Quinn stays by the entrance. Jake calls out to her, but Quinn says that she'll wait there. Or maybe in the ladies' room. Or maybe out in the parking lot. Jake says okay, and they'll be right back. A few seconds later, Artie, who we saw during the Six Sad World segment, walks up to Quinn. He says she's cool, and Quinn is sufficiently creeped out and runs after her family. Artie follows her, and then roll credits. I know I said before and I say a lot of times, but I really love Daria. It is not just one of my favorite animated series, but one of my favorite TV series of all time. And after savaging the very strange Holidays Become Personifications episode, after covering that one on This Is Gonna Suck, I'm glad I'm finally able to discuss Daria on Everything Is Fantastic. And believe me, I'm definitely going to revisit the show many, many times on here in the future. Okay, so that's gonna do it for this episode of Everything Is Fantastic. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Questions, comments, feedback, and so forth can be sent to chrismcg1983@gmail.com. That's chrismcg1983@gmail.com. If you enjoy the show and would like to support it, please rate and review on iTunes. Just search for Thoughts Out of Context on iTunes and the feed should come up. Or consider becoming a patron over at my Patreon page. That's patreon.com/dramaguycjm. patreon.com/dramaguycjm. And for becoming my patron for as little amount as contributing $1 per episode that I upload, I will thank you personally by name at the end of every podcast episode. And so we've reached that point again. So, as usual, thank you to Rachel Delecta and Eddie Landis. Thank you for your patronage. Thank you for your support. I appreciate it. Okay, like I said, that's going to be it for now. Next episode of Everything's Fantastic, we'll be once again looking at first episodes. It's going to be either The Critic or Duckman. I'm not sure just yet. I might decide it via flip of a coin. But either way, one of those two will be featured on the next episode of Everything is Fantastic. New episodes of This Is Gonna Suck are gonna come around soon. Another episode of Total Divas is in the to-do list. And a lot of things I've found recently on Netflix that sound like they'd be good content for the show, so keep an eye out on Facebook and Twitter for when those episodes are released. So, thanks again for listening. As always, I'm your host, Chris McGinnis. Have a good rest of the week.